So I've got something super interesting for you today, and I think our listeners are really going to want to hear this. You know how we've been talking about social movements lately on Disruptarian Radio?
Oh man, absolutely. And I gotta tell you, what we're diving into today is, like, incredibly eye-opening. We're going to be looking at second-wave feminism, and you know what? Some of this stuff is going to shock people.
I've been doing some reading, and there's this whole thing about the National Organization for Women's founding that just, well, it kind of blew my mind.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Because, you know, most people, they think they know what these movements were about. But when you actually look at the historical documents, when you actually dig into what was said at these early meetings, it's totally different from what we've been told.
The effects on modern society are just, they're pretty wild, aren't they?
Oh my goodness, yes. And what's really interesting is that, like, these effects weren't just accidental. When we look at the actual founding meetings of now and what was discussed, well, let's just say the original intentions might surprise a lot of people.
So, tell me about this Kate Millett person. I mean, what actually happened at that first meeting?
Oh man, this is really something else. So, Kate Millett, right. She was like this American feminist author and artist, and she's actually the founder of the National Organization for Women. And what's really, really interesting is that her own sister, Mallory, she was there at one of these first meetings, and what she witnessed was just absolutely shocking.
What exactly went down at this meeting?
So, picture this. They're all gathered around this big table, right? And Kate Millett is the chairperson, and she starts this, like, this back-and-forth thing with everyone there. And it's not at all what you'd expect. She literally opens by asking, "Why are we here today?" And they respond with, "To make revolution." And it just gets more intense from there.
Wait, what kind of revolution are we talking about here?
That's the thing, right? They specifically said, "Cultural revolution." And then they laid out exactly how they planned to do it. It was like, step by step. First, they said they needed to destroy the American family. And how were they going to do that? By destroying the American patriarch. And it just keeps going, right? They talked about taking away men's power by destroying monogamy through promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, and homosexuality.
That's pretty direct.
Yeah, and here's the really wild part. This wasn't like, you know, some fringe meeting or something. This was literally the founding of NOW, one of the most influential feminist organizations in history. And Mallory, the sister, she actually came out and said that their goal was nothing less than the complete deconstruction of Western society. Like, that was literally their stated objective.
So this wasn't about equality at all, then?
Not even close, man. Not even close. And you know what's really fascinating? This whole thing has been kind of buried. Like, most people think feminism was just about equal rights and opportunities. But these founding documents, these early meetings, they tell a completely different story.
So, speaking of the effects of all this, I just saw some really disturbing statistics from the CDC about male suicide rates. Like, the numbers are just, they're pretty shocking.
Oh man, yeah. These numbers are absolutely devastating. And what's really striking is that men make up about 50% of the population, right? But they're accounting for nearly 80% of all suicides. Like, that's just mind-blowing when you really think about it.
And this is recent data, right?
Yeah, this is from 2022. And get this, the male suicide rate is actually 4 times higher than females. 4 times. And when you look at this alongside everything we just talked about, with these movements actively trying to tear down men and masculinity, you really start to see some disturbing connections.
How do you think these things are related?
Well, see, when you have these powerful organizations, right, These movements that are literally designed to destroy the traditional male role in society, to tear down the patriarch, as they said, what you're doing is creating this environment where men just, they just don't know where they fit anymore. And it's not just about individual cases, right? It's about this whole systematic dismantling of male identity.
That's pretty heavy stuff.
It really is. And you know what's even more concerning? These numbers, they're not just statistics on a page. These are real people. Real men who are struggling so badly that they're seeing no way out. And when you combine this with the fact that men are often told they can't express their emotions, that they can't seek help because that's somehow weak or unmasculine, well, you've got a perfect storm for this kind of crisis.
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I'm curious about what happened during the Trump administration. Did any of his policies actually help push back against some of these issues we're talking about?
Oh man, absolutely, absolutely. And what's really interesting is that Trump actually implemented several policies that directly supported traditional Mallory and family her values.
Step onto the stage
and helped a large protect banner men's behind rights, them reads, especially in areas like education.
Mallory
and family
begins
courts.
Her speech with fiery
what kind
determination.
Of specific changes
we
are we
must
talking
destroy
about?
The American
so,
family.
Like,
one of the
she
biggest
declares,
things
the
was
audience
the reform
of
at the Title IX guidelines.
Mallory
and education.
Continues.
See, we start
what
by
Trump's
dismantling the patriarch.
Did was
she outlines their plan
they completely
with precision
overhauled
and
how colleges
we
handle
take away
sexual
men's
misconduct
by
allegations.
Ending monogamy.
They
the
restored
silent,
due process,
hanging on
right?
her every word,
and they made
we
sure
promote
that
promiscuity,
students,
eroticism,
who are predominantly
and
male,
homosexuality,
actually
a
got
murmur
fair
of shock
hearings.
Ripples through the crowd.
And Mallory's
this
sister huge
steps forward
because
to support
that,
many
this
men were basically getting their lives ruined without
the
any real
is
chance
tense,
to defend themselves.
Electric with intensity.
That sounds like
this
a pretty significant
equality,
change.
Mallory
yeah.
asserts.
And that's
this
not
is
even
about
all
complete.
Of it.
The administration also pushed for shared parenting
fill the room once more.
Right?
This is
and
our
they worked
stated
to reform family courts
Mallory
to give fathers
the crowd
more
is both
treatment.
Captivated
and
horrified.
And another really important
we are here
thing
to change
was the
everything.
Creation of
she
the
finishes.
White House Council on Men and Boys,
United,
which
defiant.
Was specifically designed to address issues affecting men
air.
And boys in
the
education,
audience realizes they
mental
are
health,
witnessing a
and
revolution.
The workforce.
The world outside continues
were
unaware of the storm
effective?
Brewing.
Well,
this is just
you know what's
beginning.
Really telling?
Mallory's
before these changes could really take full
ends,
effect,
but its impact
a lot of them
echoes
got rolled
endlessly.
Back by the next administration. But during that time, we saw some really positive movement. Like, there was actually a decrease in false accusations on college campuses, and we started seeing more fathers getting fair treatment in custody battles. The problem is, these kinds of reforms need time to really take hold, right? And 4 years just... It just wasn't enough to fully counter decades of anti-male policies.
So, Derek, what do you think we can actually do about all this? Like, what are some real solutions that could help strengthen men's roles in society?
Well, you know what's really interesting is that there are actually several things we can do, right? And it starts at the individual level. First and foremost, we need to stop apologizing for being men. Like, being masculine, being a provider, being protective, these are not toxic traits, right? These are valuable characteristics that society needs.
How do we actually put that into practice, though?
So one of the most important things is mentorship, right? We need more men stepping up to mentor young boys and showing them what healthy masculinity looks like. And this isn't just about teaching them to be tough. It's about teaching them to be responsible, to be leaders, to be good fathers and husbands.
What about on a broader scale?
Yeah, that's where it gets really interesting. We need to start getting involved in local politics. Right, especially school boards and city councils. And we need to support organizations that actually advocate for men's issues, like fathers' rights groups and men's mental health initiatives. But here's the really important part. We need to do this without falling into the trap of just being angry or resentful.
That's an interesting point.
Exactly. And another crucial thing is economic empowerment.
We need to encourage young men to develop valuable skills, start businesses, become financially independent. Because you know what? When men are successful and stable, they're better positioned to be those strong father figures and community leaders that we desperately need right now.
What about the legal aspects of all this?
Oh man, that's so critical. We need to actively push for legal reforms, right? Especially in family courts and education. And we need to support politicians and policies that protect due process and equal treatment under the law. But most importantly, we need to start building strong male communities again, where men can support each other and work together to create positive change.
You know, after everything we've covered today on Disruptarian Radio, it's pretty clear we're dealing with some really serious issues here.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what really stands out to me? The fact that, and this is so important, these problems didn't just happen by accident. Like, we've literally seen the documentation from those early feminist meetings where they specifically plan to target traditional family structures.
And now we're seeing the consequences with those male suicide rates.
Exactly right. And that's why it's so crucial that we don't just sit back and accept this. We've got to take action, you know? Whether it's through mentorship, getting involved in local politics, or just standing up for traditional values in our own communities.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on Disruptarian Radio, and we'll catch you next time.
And remember, everyone, the way forward isn't about fighting against women, right? It's about rebuilding and strengthening those traditional values that actually benefit everyone in society. So let's stay focused on that positive change. And we'll see you all next time.
Thank you for joining Disruptarian Radio. Today's conversation was based on a podcast about the National Organization for Women and the true history of how and why the movement started in the 1970s. We used a virtual voice actor for this session, but we will be hosting more conversations about this topic in the future. Stay tuned to disruptarian.com, daily from 12 p.m. UTC to 6 p.m. UTC, where we have both live broadcasts as well as replays of past shows. Slintcha.